Amen. Well, y'all are spread out everywhere. Well, I guess that's all right. Everybody got their favorite place to sit. I've been in this all my life. When my dad was pastoring, and then when I was associate, doing some evangelistic work, and then associate, I would notice that people would come in and always sit down at the same place. At that Farmersville church, Brother John Tyler, he sat on a second row right there, and nobody got his place. And Brother Waggle sat over here. I remember all of those things. But that's all right. How many of you realize that you sit predominantly in the same place every time you come in this auditorium? Yeah? Yeah, everybody all raising their hands. Well, how many of you want to be successful both naturally and spiritually? You know, we have a natural life and a spiritual life. But do you realize the same things that makes you successful spiritually will make you successful naturally? And that's what I'm going to talk about tonight. Stay focused on the right things. You know, I don't know why some people have lost their focus, but the one thing I know is if you're going to be successful, you got to stay focused. You know, Bill Gates said, my success part of it certainly is that I have focused on a few things. You know, if you want to be successful in your life and your Christian walk, you got to ignore some things and stay focused on some things. You ever seen somebody that they got everything going on? My dad used to say to me, he said, son, there's a lot of people, they are a jack of all trades, but master of none. Because they got too many irons in the fire. Anybody ever heard that? You know, they're not successful in anything because they're not focused. You know, some people blame everything they can think of on their lack of success, both spiritually and naturally, but it is most of the time lack of focus. Zig Ziglar says, lack of direction, not lack of time, is the problem. We all have 24 hours. Think about that. God gave us all the same amount of time, but the question is, what do we do with it? Stay focused on the right things to produce and be productive. The sunlight during the day warms the earth, but it doesn't set a fire. But if you take a magnifying prism glass and hold it down there, the sunlight beaming through that starts a fire. But that shows you the power of focus. You ever seen a person trying to do too many different things and they fail at all of them? You know, if you chase two rabbits at the same time, both will escape. Sometimes I ask people what they want to do in life. And often, I don't know. Or they say, I don't have any clear idea. And I tell them, until you get focused on your purpose, you won't be successful. The issue is being focused. You know, you ever notice that the word focus, F-O-C-A-U-S, follow on course until successful. Now, I didn't think of that. It came off the internet. I want to give you some things tonight that I think will help you be successful in your Christian walk as well as your natural walk. Philippians 3:13 in the NLT, New Living Translation, says, "No, dear brothers, I have not achieved it. But I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead." Paul says that we must ignore or forget the past and focus on what's in front of us. Some people are still in their past. They moan about past mistakes. They regret missed opportunities. They talk continually about their past successes and triumphs, but they don't talk about today. What you did yesterday is great, but what did you do today? What you accomplished yesterday is great, but what did you accomplish today? See, Dennis Waitley, a Christian motivational speaker, says, "Don't dwell on what went wrong. Instead, focus on what to do next. Spend your energies moving forward toward finding the answer. Train yourself to concentrate on the future of God, what God has for you. Take control of your thought life. Arrest every thought that is contrary to where you're going and ignore them. If you want to move forward in the future, then you can't think about the past mistakes. You can't allow anything to distract you. You can't hang around with the wrong people and be successful." What am I talking about? I'm talking about people that they never do anything. They're always talking, but never doing nothing. You can't listen to your critics because I don't care what you're doing. Somebody's going to criticize you. You got to get thick skinned. If you Google my name, my Lord, that's got all kinds of junk. And most of it is not true. They've just taken one thought or one sentence that I said or one sentence out of one of my books and they've taken off on it and they don't bother to read to get the whole context of what I was saying. And then you can't hang around a negative atmosphere, people that are negative. They don't ever say anything positive. They're always talking negatively. You ever seen anybody like that? Some of you have. You don't want to hang around them. You can't focus on your past and be successful tomorrow. Man, in sports, man, you got to stay focused. You can't think about what happened in the last play. If you do, you're going to mess up on the next play. You got to be focused on what you're doing. If you miss the pass or you drop the ball as a wide receiver, when you go back to the huddle, you got to say, "Okay, that's over. Let's go on." You got to forget it, because if you're thinking about that when you line up for the next play, you're going to mess up. Hello. You watch those pro golfers on TV. If they get a bad shot, they forget about that because they got to create a new shot from out of the rough. And you hear the announcer say, "So-and-so is one of the best at creating shots." You know why? Because he's not thinking about how bad that he made a shot. He's thinking about, "Okay, I made a bad shot. What can I do?" And he's focused on what can I do to turn it around. See, when you make a mistake, don't focus on the mistake. Focus on what you can do to turn it around, to make it come out all right, both in the natural and the spiritual. Okay? You know, it's been pointed out that you cannot drive a car successfully by always looking in the rearview mirror. Now, you need to look up there occasionally, but if you're looking up there all the time, guess what's going to happen? You're going to run over something. You drive successfully by looking in front of you and not behind you. You know, when you drive a race car, and I got to drive my old street stock, my wife wouldn't let me drive it a whole lot, but she, back in 79 and 80, some of you may remember, I had a street stock, number 35. And that's where Cameron gets his races. He had 35, but then some of the others had it, so we just dropped the 3 and we put the 5 on his car. And that's his race car. But man, when you're racing and you come out of corner number 1 and that green flag drops and you put your pedal to the floor, you can't be looking in front of you. You got to be looking all the way down to corner number 1. And as you come out going to corner number 1 and come out of corner number 3, you're not looking in front of you or halfway. You're looking all the way to number 3 corner. Because you don't know what's going on. You have to be focused here. I don't care what's going on around me, who's beside of me, who's behind me. That's not important, because I've got to stay up with what's going on, because something can start happening. Somebody can start wrecking in front of me. If I don't have my eyes fixed way down there, I'm going to run into it myself. Come on. I saw a wreck happen in the corner down there. So I just turned my car into the infield, because they had blocked the whole track. So I just turned my car in the infield because I knew the caution was going to come out. And I went across and got on the track and come back around. And I kept my spot. But if I saw Cameron, I don't know how many times I've seen him. A wreck happens right in front of him, and he misses it. And I say, "How'd you do that?" He said, "Well, I'm just watching what's going on. I just turned the wheel." Some of y'all may have been, we went to watch him race when he was about 14 or 15 out of Port City. He won that night, but y'all remember a car spun right in front of him? I don't know how he missed it, but he did. He won that race. You see, he's not concentrating on just what is front. He's concentrating what's on out there. He's focused on it. He's not looking at what's happening here. See, too many people in life, they're only focused on what's going on right now. You need to be looking your focus out here. Focus on the possibilities, not the problem. Focus on the reward, not the risk. Focus on the prize and not the pain. Come on now. You know, it's in athletics, no pain, no gain. When I had my knee replacement, I got full extension there and as far back as I can get it, having a knee, it's perfect. My doctor said, and my physical therapist said, I was the poster boy. I finished two sessions ahead of what they had me schedule. But man, I'll tell you what. I was focused on regaining all as much mobility as I could. And then the doctor told me, he said, if you don't do the rehab, you'll be back in here next year when you come for your yearly inspection. I'm sitting on that bike, that stationary bike. Man had the operation the same day I did. We were in therapy the next day. And then I'm sitting on that bike. I'm riding it. It's hurting, sure. But as soon as that knee loosened up a little bit, I moved my seat up forward, so it's hurting again. You know what? It's got to be loose. The man beside me, and he scoots back. And I'm scooting forward. No pain, no gain. What am I focused on? I'm focused on regaining all the strength in that knee that I've had. And my wife will tell you, we went back for my yearly checkup, and he came in. Remember I told you, I said, he came in on a walker. And he's going they're going to have to go in there because he's got scar tissue and his knee is all, it won't work. Why? Because he was focused on the pain and not on the prize. I was focused on the prize. My prize was that I would have full extension, both back this way and out this way. I got 100% extension this way and about 94 or 95% this way. And my doctor, the doctor of therapy, she said, that's about the most you can get with that artificial knee. Well, it's titanium. But and I set off any machine I go through. I had to go down to the Social Security Administration right after it happened, and I forgot about it, you know. And I walked through there, and it goes, and they all jumped up. And the one of the guards there, he said, "Oh, I know you, Pastor Hagin. You got a titanium knee." I said, "Yeah, I do." And so he said, "Go on," because he knew that's what set that off. But you see, I was focused on restoring everything that I could to the extent that I got it. Why? Because I endured the pain. You got to forget about the pain and look at the prize. Stay focused on the prize. Oh, the devil been after me. So what? Stay focused on the prize, not on the devil. Your greatest success comes when you focus on the goals and your future that God has planned for you. Focus on the Word of God and not on your feelings. 1 Timothy 4:13, New Living says, "Until I get there, focus on reading the scripture to the church, encouraging believers and teaching them." This is Paul talking to a young preacher and told him what to focus on the church he was pastoring, Timothy. He told Timothy, "Stay focused on the word." You know, Timothy had a lot of problems in that church. That he had false teachers, false doctrines, busybodies. He was pastoring the church there in Ephesus at this particular time. Now, Paul here, the veteran preacher, he gives Timothy some simple advice that would keep him and his church on track. Stay focused on the word. Too often we focus on our feelings and emotion. Oh, I feel like God heard me when I prayed. Why? Because you had a good feeling? It doesn't matter whether you have a good feeling or not. When you pray, God hears you. He says that in the Word of God. But I've heard people say, "Oh, they had a really good feeling," and they said, "Oh man, I know God hurt me. I just feel so good." That's what they used to say in a lot of the Pentecostal churches. Doug, you come out of that group. Did you ever heard about somebody say that? Yeah. And my dad would say, and he'd say, "It don't make no difference how you feel. God heard you when you prayed. The Bible says so." See, stay focused on the word, not on your feeling or your emotion. Thank God for emotion. I know Roger's come out of the same denomination I come out of, and a lot of times they were basing their spirituality on their emotion and what they felt. And thank God, God met them because they didn't know any different. But we don't base it. We have to base it on what the Bible says. Thank God for feeling. Thank God for emotion. I don't mind somebody running or dancing ever so often. Maybe I dance myself. But you see, I don't care how often you dance and how good feel good, it's still all based on the word. People talk about, they think people get healed because they fall out under the power. No, falling don't heal nobody. Being staggering backwards don't heal nobody. Well, why does that happen? Well, my dad coined this phrase and I'm picking it up. When the natural comes in contact with the supernatural, something's got to give, and it's sure not going to be the natural. That's why you see that. Hello now. Come on. You know, focus on the word. Unsuccessful people sabotage their future because they're wearing their feelings on their sleeves. It doesn't matter what you feel. What does the Bible say? In crisis, people get emotional and let fear take over rather than saying getting the word of God and letting it, they focus on that instead of what they feel, the fear. Timothy could have had fear and, you know, because he said here in 1 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and a love and a sound mind. See, don't focus on that. You know, a crusade team, some of you have heard about it, they put it on Facebook, they put the pictures on Facebook. We got 14 of us, I think, on an elevator down in Waco. Jonathan was there. Anthony was there. I don't know where Anthony is right now, but he was there. He's probably sitting right back there waiting for me to get through so he can come out and sing. I don't know whether I see any of the other team members here or not. But we punch a button and it goes and stops. Well, we ring buzzers, nothing happens. And I pried the door open, I just get a crack about like that. And I could see that we must be between floors because we're about 3 feet from the ground, about as high as this, wasn't we? We were about as high as this. And we was in there for an hour and 45 minutes. I kept telling, hey, settle down, it'll be all right. Because some people started getting a little antsy, you know. And it got hot in there. I thank God I had on a black T-shirt. And I'm starting to sweat, so I take this shirt off, you know, and I'm holding it. And I'm telling everybody, don't get into fear. We'll be all right. And I finally was able to get that door open enough that we could get some water bottles in. They give us some water bottles, and we come in to get a drink. And they went upstairs, and they reset that computer 4 or 5 times, and nothing happened. And so they said, well, we're going to have to call the regular guy, but we don't know. It's about 11 o'clock by then, I think, anyway. We don't know how long it'd take him to get here. And it was one of those elevators that has that back door on it, too, you know, so the people can come from the kitchen or do the cleaning people. Anybody been on one of those elevators? Well, the guy went around to it, and we started trying to open it. And I don't know how, but all of a sudden, we were able to get it open just enough that we could get out of there. And I started telling them, jump, jump, go, go, go. They were being real careful. I said, go fast, quick, go jump, get out of here. Because I didn't know how long they're going to be able to hold them doors open. And I'm up here at the front. That was in the back of the elevator. But you know what? I stayed focused on the fact that God's going to take care of me. I'm not going to get in a spirit of fear. Because you get in a spirit of fear, you can't think straight. That's why it says, I may not have been given a spirit of fear, but a power and love and a sound mind. That's the one thing they tell you in the army. When I went into one of the training things, they said, no matter what's going on, no matter how bad the firefight is, don't panic. Don't get in fear and panic. If you panic, you'll get killed because you'll make a bad decision. You can't make a right decision in fear. That's why I keep saying all the time, God's not giving me the spirit of fear, but a power and a love and a sound mind. I say it all the time. You know, now you stay focused on the word to be successful. Joshua said in Joshua 1:8, the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you'll have good success. He said here, Don't let the book of the law depart from your mouth. We don't need to let the book of the word depart from our mouth. When somebody says, I don't know what's going to happen, you can say, I know what's going to happen. Oh, you do? Yeah, exactly what the Bible says. That's what's going to happen. The Bible said that I will be protected. I don't know about you, but they start talking about them, how bad them storms are supposed to come into Tulsa. They didn't come here. You know why? Because not me, not just me, but this staff and you guys, y'all all started speaking to that. How many of you started speaking to that? I mean, they said it was really going to be bad. And it wasn't as bad as they said it was going to be. Now, some of it hit. But, hey, you got to start speaking the word instead of, oh, my Lord, we're going to have a tornado. What are we going to do? Well, so what? I'm going to be protected. God's going to take care of me. I don't care what happens. See, you got to get to the point that you believe the word. The Bible said it, I believe it, that settles it. See, God's given us a manual, an instruction manual. How many of you ever been on a job where they give you an instruction manual? God gave us one right here. This is our instruction manual. The problem is some people just read it, but they never put it into practice. You got to believe what the Bible says and act like what the Bible says is true. You got to believe you can before you can. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. That's what I stay focused on. I stay focused on Romans 8:37. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors. More than conquerors. Through him who loved us. Focus on the word of God. We have to keep our eyes on Jesus, not on the problem. We do this. Hebrews 12:2 in NLT. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in a place of honor beside God's throne. I'm going to read this in the voice. Now stay focused on Jesus who designed and perfected our faith. He endured the cross and ignored the shame of that death because he was focused on the joy that was set before him. And now he sits at beside God on the throne, a place of honor. Keep your eyes on Jesus because, yeah, he suffered Calvary, but he saw the other side of Calvary. What was the other side of Calvary? That was people being redeemed by his act of dying on the cross. Come on. Through his death, burial, and resurrection, we're able to have salvation and healing and deliverance, protection, safety, well-being. Not lack, but more than enough. More than enough. You know, my grandma, we'd go there to eat. Bunch of people there because she loved to cook. My mom's mom, Grandma Rooker. She loved to cook. And I, you know, the plate of chicken or potatoes or something would start to get about empty. She said, don't worry about it. There's more where that is, come from. Hello. Anybody ever been like that? Been there? Yeah. Let me tell you what. I don't care how much you get from God. There's still more there left. Just go take a big helping, and when you get that one to eat, get another big helping. Get a helping of protection, a helping of more than enough. Come on now. We got to realize that if we stay focused on the right things, our success will come by staying focused on the promises of God, the use of the name of Jesus, the Holy Spirit and power of God that dwells within. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. The angels that surround and encamp about us. In fact, I believe this. Some people don't, but I believe that each of us have an angel. And we need to learn to let him take care of us sometimes. We have God's abiding presence, the presence of God, the supernatural power of God. Hey, cast aside all your fears, all your doubts. There is abundant provision if we stay focused on the right things. See, we focus on the one thing, forgetting what's back here. Who cares what's back there? It's history. And if you've been born again, it doesn't exist. You're not the same person that did any of that stuff. It says you are a new person in Christ Jesus. Hey, that old person died. And he rose again with a new life under the power of the Spirit of God. Focus on reading the scripture and getting the word in you and letting it come out your mouth. Keep your eyes on the prize instead of the pain and the problem. What is the prize? Living a successful life down here and having a little bit of heaven to go to heaven in. Glory to God. Tonight I challenge you, make a commitment to stay focused on the right things so that you can be successful in the natural and in the spiritual. Praise the Lord. And I'm giving you 5 minutes back. It's 7:54. I'm supposed to be through at 8:00. Well, I'm giving you some 4 minutes back. Praise the Lord. Anybody get anything out of this tonight? Get your focus fixed on the right thing. Quote the word of God. Everybody stand up. Say this with me. I will focus on the word of God. I will say what the word says. I will act like what the word says. If the word says I can do it, then I can. The word says I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So there's nothing that I can't accomplish because the word says so. Hallelujah. Man, somebody ought to be shouting. That's exciting. Glory to God. Praise God, praise God. Well, if you're in this place tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, the ladies will be right here and the men of our prayer group will be down here. You can come and pray with them. You won't leave me like you came. Or if you know that, hey, I know what it is to be with God, but I'm just not where I'm supposed to be, you can rededicate your life. You want prayer for the Holy Spirit. You want somebody to pray with you about anything, no matter what it is. As we're dismissed, come down here. And you won't leave here like you came. Don't forget all the announcements. Hey, remember the book fair, because if we sell a certain amount, then we get books for our children's department and our daycare. Okay? So it's double benefit. There's books for the kids to read, and we need to get the kids reading the books and get their nose out of games on the iPad. And I was reading an article just the other day that said that too many kids were not perfecting their reading skills because of the iPhone and the iPads. So we need to get people reading again. Sometimes I got the Bible on my iPad, on my phone, but I just go get it. I'll go get it and read it here. And I've got stuff underlined in here that if I can go and find it, then I have to go and if I want it underlined it in the or put color it in my iPad. But you know, this Bible right here that I've got several of them. I'm gonna change this one. But this one was given to me. I think this is the one. Yeah. To Ken on his 26th birthday, 9/3/65. Ken, we love and appreciate your life and what you have known. We are proud of you as our son. Always live a Christian life and do God's will. Remember John, 1 John 4:4. Love mom and dad. That's very special. So I'm very careful with this Bible. In fact, that's why I'm going to change it and put another one in here, because I'm going to put this one up. I don't want to, you know, when you use the Bible too much, you ever notice sometimes it starts breaking down and some of the pages, especially if you read a certain area all the time, the pages start to tear and so forth, and I don't want that to happen. That's a special Bible right there. But you see, a Bible is an important book. Just like those books out there. This is more important. You know, for some of your kids, you can get children's Bibles that they can start reading when they're young, and they understand it. It's written more so a child can understand it. I read that, I can understand it. That's a joke. If you need prayer for anything, come down to the front. Sunday morning right here, we're going to have a great time. Come believing, come expecting. Turn around and shake hands with somebody and say, I'm going to stay focused on the right thing because I want to be successful. And you're dismissed. If you need prayer for any reason whatsoever, come to the front right now.